Welcome to our evening service tonight. We're going to begin with hymn number 485, I Have a Shepherd, One I Love So Well. Please, we'll stand as we sing. Let's be still, please, now before the Lord as we come to commit our service to Him in prayer. Our gracious and loving Father, it is once more, Lord, with great joy and thanksgiving that we are able to come into Your holy presence, an evening service, a way to conclude the Lord's day. And Father, as we have gathered now for singing and for prayer and reading the Word, and I pray that we will draw encouragement, blessing, and direction from the Scripture, and that, Lord, You would carry us forward into this incoming week, that we might glorify and honor our Savior in all that we say and do. Father, we give thanks for the blessings of life, of health and strength, And as we think of the health that we have or the measure of it, we are mindful of those who are needing a touch from your gracious hand. Remember our sick ones tonight. Remember those that have very serious illness. We pray your hand of mighty blessing on them. Remember our elderly ones, older members of the church that would never have missed a service. And yet, Lord, for some time now, they've not been able to be here. Bless them where they are, able to tune in online. We're thankful for this technology. Lord, use it for your honor. And I pray that none will abuse it. Dear Father, encourage every family represented here. Save our unsaved loved ones. Stir up all our hearts that we might walk in the center of your perfect will. We commit this week especially, Lord, as we are meeting each night for prayer, meeting around the Word, meeting for our baptismal service. And may it be a very special week, a week set apart, a week owned, Lord, and devoted to your cause and purpose. A week where our hearts will be rejoicing. A week where the devil will not get the victory and we will be enabled to be out every night or as many as possible. And that, Lord, there would be a setting forward for this incoming year, going on the pace in the will of God. And that, Lord, we would see the crooked ways made straight and the rough ways made smooth. And that we would see blessing poured out even more, Lord, than we have received. The blessing of spiritual growth. The blessing of souls being saved. The blessing, Lord, of seeing our testimony as a congregation reverberating in our nation, our land. We want to be a bright light for our Savior. We want to be a signpost to direct men and women to the Christ of God. Father, help us to do that, we pray. Lord, enable us all in whatever capacity of ministry that we have to fulfill, that we will do it with all our hearts. Bless the ministry of Whitfield, Lord, we pray. Bless every teacher and student and parent. And I pray, Lord, as we all unite and join in our prayers for daily protection, for daily spiritual blessing, for the Holy Spirit to grasp and take hold of the hearts of our students, and that they will be brought in saving faith to Christ, and their lives will be on the altar of service. Ah, Lord, do what we cannot do. We're so thankful for the way you have provided for us, Father, and we are asking for your ongoing protection and provision for today, tomorrow, and into the future. Bless the ministry and witness here. Lord, may all be done to the honor and the glory of King Jesus. Remember, Father, we pray, the persecuted church across this land, in our world, many continents, places where Christians are in prison, suffering. They are restrained from gathering together in witness and for worship. Bless the underground church in China. Bless, O God, and protect the Christians that are there in Afghanistan under the heel of wicked regimes and tyrannical terrorist organizations. Lord, we pray for Christians in Iraq and Iran and India, Pakistan, North Korea. We think of Myanmar and the believers who are there, and the threat that they're under, and in Africa and the various places. It seems, Father, there is a tremendous increase of Christian persecution. Protect your people and the church, and help us to be holding up the ropes of prayer for each other. Dear Father, hear our prayer tonight. Bless us now and settle our hearts. as we continue in this time of worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 453, we will sing again to the Lord's praise, Close to Thee. Standing to sing. I turned to 543 instead of 443, but that's not your excuse. You have nothing to turn to except to look overhead. So, well, we want to take this first verse once more and sing out with all your heart as we praise the Lord now. Turning tonight, please, in our Bibles to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. We're going to start our reading at the opening verse of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We know he will bless his word to every believer, and it's an encouragement that we have the scripture in our own language to hear, to understand, to read, and I trust that everyone is making every attempt and utilizing the preciousness of the Word of God in your day-to-day life and witness. Welcome to our evening service tonight. We're happy that you're here. Someone said to me recently, and I've said this to you before, but they wondered if the evening service was the same as the morning service. Were they just kind of being repeated? And a few people may have thought that over the time. But no, I had to say the evening service is completely different than the morning service. And so you want to try to be out both times on the Lord's Day. Not just Sunday morning or not just Sunday evening, but coming as often as you possibly can to hear the Word of the Lord. So we welcome you all and those online tonight. We're happy that you're able to tune in to be with us as well. We've been remembering some of our shut-ins and thinking of John and Thelma Watson, praying for them, praying also for Jean Bino, that the Lord would draw near and bless our dear sister, and others who have been shut in for a long time and just can't get out to the house of prayer and worship. We want to remember them. As I mentioned this morning, we say once more just a word of condolence to our brother Eric in the passing of his dear mother, that the Lord would continue to bless him and his sister over in the Philippines and others who have heard the word from the funeral service that took place. Continue in your prayers, please, for our sister Jan Kimbrough. She is at home now making some slight improvements from being overcome with COVID. She will know the Lord's hand on her for good. Again, let's remember to pray for the young adults of our fellowship, but not only here, but also across Canada, the United States. Last night, we had another Connect Group fellowship. Well, if you missed out on being there, you missed out on a real blessing. Brother Jason Boyle, pastor at our Mexico church, brought the word, and it was an encouragement to us. And I hope you'll remember that work also before God in your praying. Now, one dear sister said to me before the service tonight, she said, do you know that the clock against the wall is not working anymore? And I said, what clock? I said, you need to put a calendar up there instead, never mind the clock. Now, I won't tell you who that person was, but sometimes you hear a note from the organ that shouldn't be played. And so that person reminded me that the clock is not working. So don't worry about that at all, because I can't see it too well from where I'm standing anyways. That doesn't matter a whole lot. We'll not be worrying about that. This incoming week is a special one for us because of our week of prayer. And Monday evening, I trust to bring the word. And then on Tuesday night, Reverend Cranston from our Port Hope congregation. Wednesday, our baptismal service. Thursday, Reverend Gallagher will bring the word. And then Friday, as God permits, we will have a time of testimony and of praise before we come to our times of prayer. We have intended on committing the last full week of January, these number of years, to a time of special prayer. And let's not forget that or neglect that this incoming week, how vital that is for all of us and the needs that we have in our land, in our congregation, in all of our churches, praying for the Lord's blessing and protection on us. Services next Lord's Day at the regular times for our Sunday school, 9:55, and then our morning and evening worship services according to the Lord's perfect will. Let's sing again, please. Well, first of all, you're going to listen number 514. It's a hymn that I don't think we have sung before in the church, at least I don't remember it. So I want you to just remain seated and watch as the organist and piano play, and then also we will stand and we will sing a couple of verses a little bit later on. And that is 514. By the way, a word of thanks to our sister Karen for playing the piano today. We appreciate that. Our sister Dana is a little bit under the weather today, and I know she's watching tonight. And Dana, we've been praying for you as well. Remain seated, please. And for the first and last verses. Please turn now in your Bibles to Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth mine hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. We'll bow, please, in prayer. Dear Lord, as we have the word open now tonight, may our hearts be open to that word. We pray for the Spirit's help and understanding. And most certainly, Lord, the application of that word to all our lives. Go in front of us now tonight. Blessed Savior, abide in this house. We pray that the fragrance of your garments would be very evident. And Lord, you would help us to know your will and your way, and that our wills would not get in the way. Bless us now tonight in Jesus' holy and precious name we ask. Amen. We're looking at verse 10 tonight of this psalm. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. In one sense, I think this verse is really going to be a follow-up from our motto text that we thought about a few weeks ago from Proverbs 3 and verse 6, In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That is a promise, and it is a sovereign, divine promise. And it's one of those that we can certainly bank on. We know that it is one that God promises to fulfill in the lives of his people. And yet, as we pursue him and think about continuing on in this year, it's good to be reminded again about what that means of seeing this promise fulfilled and the prayers that you and I will continue to make to the Lord based upon his promises, how we will see that augmented. Do you know to be in harmony with the eternal purpose of a sovereign God is the highest attainable goal for a human being? We would ask ourselves, are we in harmony with God, with his mind, with his revealed will in our life? To live life outside of God's revealed will is really to snub our noses at the Creator. It would be very similar to a person thinking they can handle this on their own, jumping out of an airplane with nothing but a backpack on your back full of dirty clothes. And when you pull the ripcord, well, what will happen at the bottom would be very, very nasty. The resurrected Savior said to Saul of Tarsus, "It's a hard thing for you to kick against the pricks of God. You cannot fight against the Lord and win. You cannot set yourself as in opposition to the God of heaven and think you will come out on the other side unscathed, victorious." And yet that's exactly what sinful man does. Lifts up their hands of rebellion, their hearts against the God of heaven, and they say, "I will not have the Lord to rule over me. I will go in my own pathway. I will go in my own way." As we look at this verse tonight, I pray that the truth of it will be reinforced in our lives. It will be a means of preparing us for the week of prayer in front. But not just that, all that lies in front of us in this congregation for the year that's to come. Because you know as well as I do that we do not know and we're not aware of the events that will befall us in 2022. It's actually a very good thing we don't know. Because if we did know, it would drive us to mental distraction and instability. No, we're thankful to leave those things in the hand and the mind of God and just live each day by faith, dealing with what comes our way, and saying, "Lord, we desire to follow in your pathway, in the way you set before us." Some things that we will learn from this verse tonight and from the subject of the will of God. And the first thought is this: the will of God is something that can be known. It would be really a strange thing and a hard thing to present to someone and say, "Well, you are to follow what God wants you to do," if you never knew what that will was. The Lord's Prayer, we are told, as Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the aspiration, the goal, and the desire that God has for His creative creation. That what He intends, what He is doing, what He purposes, what is happening to glorify His name in heaven, the living God wants and desires that to be occurring on earth. And when He created man to begin with, that was indeed what was happening until sin came in. God has revealed His purpose to man. The law measures whether a man has met the standard of God's perfect nature or not. And when God gave His revelation, His holy word, that reveals to a sinful world what He requires. The Bible has information about God. It has information about what the Lord expects from man. And of course, when the word of the Lord is ignored or rejected, man has chosen his own way. And he will be lost in a blizzard of his own sin. He will not find the way. And ultimately, he will die in his sins and be separated from God forever and forever. My dear friends, when the Holy Spirit opens the Word of God to a sinful heart and He shows the condition of that heart outside of Christ, their heart then is opened, as those of us here in this building and watching online have experienced yourselves in regeneration. It was the Holy Spirit that brought us out of our sinful way. He took the Scriptures and opened our eyes and our minds to the Word of God. And by faith, we received that Word and the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. Then the Scripture is known to us as the living Word of God. It's alive. And as this Word of God is alive, we are able to know the mind of the Lord. We're able to know the will of God. Yes, the will of the Lord is something that can be known. But notice in the second thought that doing the will of God does not come naturally to human beings. The Apostle Paul tells us that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. And the reason why the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God is because those godly things can only be spiritually discerned. They can only be discerned by the operation of the Spirit of the Lord in the heart of people. A saved person who has spiritual life operates under new management. There's a new order, a new structure. We have been given a new heart, indeed a redeemed heart, a new mind, and yes, we have been given a new will. Yet this does not mean that doing the will of God will always come easy. This comes into clarity when Paul confessed in the book of Romans that the things he wanted to do, he did not do. And the things he did not want to do, those were the things that he ended up doing. What does that tell us? It tells us from the apostle that there was a warfare going on inside him. There was a wrestling of two natures, of the old and the new. and those, that battle that was going on, the old nature always wanting to have the priority, but the new nature that was on the road of victory and ultimately would overcome. The old nature is fighting against that. And we have been given the new nature that follows after righteousness, peace, and truth, indeed the will of God. So David prayed here in this psalm, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God." It seems that the will of the Lord in our lives as Christians is sometimes elusive. You have sought the Lord for something. You've wanted to know His mind, His direction. And you've been praying. And maybe, believer, you've been praying for a long time and it hasn't come clear. And you're wondering, has the Lord heard my prayer? Is the Lord going in front of me? And friends, when you find this difficult and you find the challenging times of seeking and knowing the will of God, be absolutely certain that God has given to us the equipment to know that through His Word. And if you want to know the will of God that doesn't come naturally to you, and perhaps is found, you find it to be very difficult, press on and pray on and seek the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, mind, and strength, because so much is at stake. And we cannot just say, "Oh, well, it's not working out for me. I'll not bother." No, friend, that is not at all the way we can go. We know that saying that old habits die hard. It means that once we've been accustomed to a way of life and behavior, it's a battle to change and correct those ways. Well, we sometimes think about that phrase just in our earthly habits, not necessarily things that are sinful, though sometimes they would be, but old habits die hard. When we bring that into a Christian spiritual perspective, and we do think about the old sinful ways and habits that we've had, when we come to Christ, those things don't just change overnight. It takes time. And so let us be patient. Christian, you've been on the road for a long time. You see a new person coming to Christ. Their life is not all of a sudden squeaky clean. There's going to be a time of transition. It's called sanctification. There's a time where by those old ways and the old things, the old habits, they're still there. And you're wondering, "I thought that person was supposed to be a Christian. How come they are doing X, Y, and Z?" Let's be careful. Let's be patient. Let's not be overly hard on them. Because all we have to do is think back in our own lives. Think back of how the Lord dealt with us so graciously, patiently, carefully. And we did things, we look back now, we wonder, how could we ever have done that? But we were engaged, we were doing those things. Even though we profess faith in Christ. And yet, slowly sometimes, maybe too slowly, but one by one, those habits, the Spirit of God touched them in our life. And He made them known to us. And oftentimes no one else had to say anything. No one else had to point them out. But we were convicted about them, weren't we? And so we understood that they were not ways that glorified God. And eventually they were changing. And those old things went away. Well, we're not there yet. And the Lord still is grinding off those things in our life that, well, they should have been gone maybe a long time ago, but they're still there. Let us be submissive to His will. It is in a Christian's life that often the old sinful habits, or at least the smoldering embers of that fire, They seem to be very hard to put out. But don't be content there, believer. You've been on the Christian road for many years, but there's still that niggling thing that is eating away at you. And it doesn't seem to be giving you rest. And you sought the Lord about it, and you prayed about it. Don't give up praying. Don't give up seeking. But press the Lord on that very point and be like Jacob. Do not let the Lord go, except He will bless you with deliverance. And He will do it. You know why? Because you are praying in the will of God for His honor. And when we do that, the Lord will abundantly answer. We know the power of the flesh. We know how strong it is. That is why the Lord tells us in His Word, we are to die unto ourselves daily. The flesh must be put to death. So when we are saved by God's grace, we soon learn that doing the will of God does not come naturally, and it must be sought after. This is perhaps one problem of those, we could say, brought up in a Christian home or a godly environment. Good habits and good attitudes are part of your upbringing. Young people here, you know what I'm talking about. It's been part of your life. And children have conformed to that to a certain degree. And maybe, young friends, you can fly under the radar. You can go undetected that you're not a Christian, really, but you have all the outward signs of it. And you've somewhat conformed to what parents have said or what's expected at church. But be careful, because that does not mean that your nature has been changed. It does not mean that you have given yourself over yet and submitted to God's will and His way in your life. You're not a believer maybe yet. And it's time, my dear young friends, to be sure that you know that you are saved. And you might have a recollection of asking the Lord into your heart some years ago. And in that time, it seemed real. But now, today, you're not sure. Are you really saved or not? Are you truly born again of the Spirit of God? Might not just be a young person I'm talking to. Maybe you're a bit older and you still don't have that certainty. Well, that's why the Lord calls us and says, make your calling and election sure, because God wants you to be in His will. He wants us to walk in that will. He wants us to know that we know Him personally, really, completely. That we indeed are one of His children. We're in His family. We're part of the body of Christ. And that's what the Lord wants us to be. So make sure you absolutely know the will of God in your life in salvation. So the will of God is something that can be known. Doing the will of God does not always come naturally. And in the third place, knowing the will of God and doing the will of God, they are different. In verse 8 of this psalm, it says in the second half of the verse, a prayer, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto Thee. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Yes, knowing the will of God is vital. We cannot walk around with blinders on. We cannot walk around in our ignorance. It's not enough to say, well, I didn't know. When the Lord has given to us His Word and He's drawing us to read His Scripture and to familiarize ourselves with the Word of God and to know His mind. But dear friends, we are called to know the way wherein we should walk. Sometimes, you know, we might use this as a bit of an excuse. We hear it preached. We might read it in the Word of God. Maybe we have memorized it from younger years. And all that knowledge, it's in our mind. But yet there seems to be a blockage. There seems to be some obstacle that's keeping us back from actually doing the Lord's will. Has God been wrestling with you? Has the Spirit of the Lord been working in your heart in some area in this line? Is there some place whereby we are not surrendered to God? I cannot answer for your heart. You cannot answer for mine. But I know in my own Christian development, there have been those times for sure when I have all the knowledge in the sense of what is in front of me, but yet there's been a resistance to do the will of God. How do you overcome that, friend? There's only one way, and that's by on your face before God in prayer and by submitting your will to God's will. Knowing the will of God is oftentimes different from doing it. And the Lord calls us to be engaged and active as believers. He wants us to be a living example to those around us so that when they see us and they hear us, they will know we have been with the Lord. There's nothing worse, you know, than a double-tongued Christian. There's nothing worse than when we have said we believe something, but the next day or the next moment our life is doing something that's completely different. We then are called inconsistent. We are then really being hypocritical about the way we are testifying. And there has been much more damage done to the cause of Christ when we as believers and professors of the Lord have not lived up to what we have said we are. And we're all guilty of it to some degree or another because we are inconsistent. And so knowing that, it is very important for us to bring that very matter to the Lord in prayer and say, Father, I don't want to be just a hearer of the word. I want to be a doer of the word. That was the criticism that God brought against His Old Testament people. They knew this, 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 and this. But then they did not do this, 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 and that. And the Lord brought that against them. How is it that you say, you love me, you know my word, my will, but you're not doing it? May the Lord not ever come to our lives and have that accusation against us, to have that word of correction against us. We want to pray, Lord, keep us from ever going down that road. Keep us, Lord, following in the direction we are to go and not be those who are just talk, 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 but rather we will be those who live by our actions, fulfilling God's will in our lives. Fourthly and finally tonight, knowing the will of God is the deep personal desire of every sincere Christian. It is actually, my dear friends, the solemn and distinguishing mark if you are saved. Because when we are desiring the will of God, we are desiring the glory of Christ. When we want to follow the Lord in His way, we're saying, Lord, I want you to take control. I don't want to have my hand on the steering wheel. Lord, I don't want to be a backseat driver. I want, Lord, you to take complete control. There's so much today in the talk of automated cars. And some people welcome them with open arms. Others aren't so sure. And in the amount of accidents that undoubtedly will happen down the road as these things are being tested and tested and proven over again, well, there are going to be many mistakes happen. But you know, there can be no better vehicle that you and I as believers can be in than a vehicle that is totally automated and God is the one who's at the helm. And we are letting Him take it in the direction that He will. Other than that, friends, we are so prone to go off track and do our own thing. Please turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. And the world passeth away. He's talking about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all of those things which are so much the opposite of the life of a child of God. Verse 17, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The solemn and distinguishing mark of a faithful Christian is one that is living by, believing in, following after God's holy will. And the psalmist prayed in Psalm 25, verses 3 and 4, these three thoughts. He prayed, Lord, show me, Lord, teach me, and Lord, lead me. And my dear believer, if we pray those three things as a regular basis, let them be in our memory, in our heart, in our desire. Lord, show me your mind and will. Lord, teach me, for I am so often dumb and hard of hearing. I need to be shown, I need to be taught. And yes, Lord, I need to be led. Ah, what a great trilogy of prayer. David prayed in Psalm 40, I delight to do thy will, O my God, thy law is within my heart. That's where the delighting comes from, you know. When the Lord's word is in us and the Spirit of God is actively revealing that word and will to us, it's no longer onerous for us to keep the commandments. At one time in the unsaved days, the list of commandments was, well, who could do that? I can't keep all those. Neither do I want to. I don't delight in them. As a matter of fact, I hate them. But not now, friend. If you love the Lord, you love His word. You love the law of God. The Ten Commandments are your delight. And you say, Lord, I want to mirror the image of my Savior. I want to fulfill His life and see it fulfilled in mine. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. We can pray this prayer, Thy will be done, and it might be unfolded in three ways. Thy will be done, reluctantly or apathetically or resolutely. I think we've all experienced that in our lives. Okay, Lord, have your way, thy will be done. That's reluctantly. I guess if it has to be, okay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be, and we just have to get this over with quickly. That's not glorifying to the Lord. And the other one is the apathetic way. If we just say, oh, well, I guess we'll just take whatever comes. We'll just go down the current of whatever the Lord's will is in a fatalistic sort of view. And it's very apathetic. Ah, but the true heart of the child of God, it is this. It is with all our heart, with great resolution, with great determination, saying by the Spirit's power, Lord, I want to resolutely follow in your way. When we submit to God's will and not our own, we are following, my dear friends, the example of our Savior, who did always those things that pleased his heavenly Father. I don't know if you have found this a little puzzling. When Jesus prayed this prayer, not my will, but thine be done. What does that mean? You would have thought, I thought that Jesus' will was the will of God the Father. How could he pray, not my will, as if the will of Christ was something different from the will of the Father? No, friend, that is not right. We must understand that in the context of what was prayed. Because absolutely and ultimately, the will of Jesus Christ was in absolute conformity to the will of his Father. There is no doubt about that. But when he prayed that prayer, there was an acknowledgement of the frailty of human nature, its sheer weakness under the weight of divine demands. It must always be supported by the divine nature in order to reflect and fulfill that which was God's will. But when we say, not my will, but thine be done, it's altogether different. And the difference is this. It's different because our wills are tainted or bent away from God because of sin. Yes, even though we have been converted, we have been redeemed, and there is now a new nature put within us, yet there is the vestiges. There are the vestiges of the carnal man that must be subdued. They must be brought into conformity with God's will. But this cannot be done by our own strength. It can't be done, friend, by your willpower. It is only the Holy Spirit who now lives, abides, dwells within the heart of every true believer. It is by the indwelling Spirit that we are enabled through His power to submit ourselves to the will of God. Not my will, I will pray, Lord, because I am not able, because of my sinful vestiges. Yet according to Thy divine will, I want to walk in a way that is pleasing to You. And in this, my dear friends, we must be educated. And so the prayer of David here is a good one. Teach me to do thy will. This is what I will say is Christian Education 101. And by the grace of the Lord, your grades, they are better than you think. Yes, your grades are better than you think. It's a little bit like, and you might remember that, you can think back to your schooling days, maybe some of you are still in school, and you wrote an exam or a test, and you thought you bombed out. This was the worst. You're going to fail this. And to your shock and dismay, you get the exam back, and you got honors on it, and you wonder, how did that happen? I don't know. It was the Lord. Ah, my dear friends, when we think we have messed up or we've not met the grade, the rejoicing is that Christ's life living through us and the Spirit's power motivating us, we will glorify the Lord. Because we will step back and say, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Sometimes the Lord must take us, though, by a longer road. when we might be resisting His purpose, and it's by His gracious and patient corrections that we are brought into the place that we can be useful in His work, and we will glorify His name. Maybe you're on a long road right now. I know I certainly have been there. The Lord's not finished yet. He's got a lot of work to do in this preacher. Where are we tonight with God? Where are we on our learning and our education? It is very important for us to pray for a willing heart, to pray for a submissive spirit, so that we will not have to be continually corrected, not have to be kept in the way. You have the picture of an animal, of a horse walking on the pathway, and it knows its way home, and it's going on that path. And it doesn't have to be always pulled by the reins this way or that way. It's a well-trodden path. It knows where it's going. Friend, don't be like the mule that has to be continually corrected, taken off from steering in the other pathway or meadow. We want to have a heart that is in tune with our God, our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and so that we would say to the Lord, as David did here, "Teach me thy way, O my God." We're going to sing this hymn in closing tonight, number 517. It's taken from Psalm 27 that we read earlier on in the service, and it's certainly the theme of 143 and verse 10. "Teach me thy way, O Lord." We'll stand as we sing. Father, this is our prayer tonight. You know our hearts. You know what we desire. You know we pray for the acceleration of sanctification in our hearts. Therefore, Father, fulfill that purpose in us, we ask. Lead us in the way everlasting. Keep us from going astray. We are so prone to do that. Lord, we're thankful for the revelation of the Spirit to our hearts in salvation and leading us to know that way more perfectly. So take us now to our homes safely. Bless us in this incoming week. Lord, may the world see Christ in us, for we are living letters, known and read of all men. Let us not bring dishonor, Lord, we pray, to your holy name. If there is some soul, Father, without Christ here or listening, we pray for their salvation. We pray that they will come to know Christ, whom to know is life everlasting. Do that effectual calling and work in their hearts, we pray. For Jesus' sake we ask. Amen.